Yes, it's great to have you here. Thanks for letting Diane and I come back. We've been I've been impersonating an Episcopal priest for the last 9 months, so if I get anything wrong, this will be a little bit different again, but it's great to be back. And also, I've been going by my nickname, Canute, because there's so many Johns all over the place. So anyway, if you wonder who Pastor Canute is, that's the same guy anyway. But it's great to have you here. Please stand as we continue with our worship. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And sing our opening hymn. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you new birth, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all of your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Christ,
the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, Judge Eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth.
Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
See any little kids? We'll proceed with our next lesson.
First reading is from Jeremiah. Hear now the word. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin, now that I found it. I will read the light print. Please respond with the dark print. God stands to charge the divine council assembled, giving judgment in the midst of the gods.
How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked?
Save the weak and the orphan, defend the humble and needy.
Rescue the weak and the poor, deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They wander about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
Now I say to you, you are gods, and all of your children are the Most High.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince.
Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own.
Second reading is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Hear now the word. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the gift of each and every person with us this morning. Lord, be with all of us now as we turn our hearts, our minds toward your word. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You might have your own guess at what that sermon title means, getting burned. And you might have images of being a space lobster from sunburn or something like that that hurt so, so bad. You might be thinking of someone that put you in your place, and it was kind of like getting burned. Or it could be even being a second-time supply pastor and getting a gospel text like this. But Pastor John already apologized because my last one was on divorce, so there you go. But when you think about it, it's so difficult. There's so much to make us uncomfortable about the whole gospel, because we all know that there's plenty of division and hatred and problems all around us, and people pulling apart in different ways, and fights and disagreements and arguments, and we would like to think that we could at least come back to our family, or at least come back to church and not have that be a part. Most of you are about my age, and you can remember some of the TV shows we grew up with. I mean, the Waltons. I mean, who takes 5 minutes to say goodnight to everybody, you know, before you're going to bed, you know? Or Leave It to Beaver. I mean, I think the worst thing Beaver might have all... maybe forgot to feed the dog or something. I mean, it was so much wonderful family and everything. It was just so easy. Or maybe Mayberry, RFD, you know, and little Opie. And that's the kind of life, the kind of family that we would all wish for. That's the kind of church that we would all wish for. But Jesus is sometimes brutally honest. Honest about reality. Honest about life in this earth. In this world. Do any of you, have you ever had any drama in your family? I mean, that's part of who we are. You know, with the little kids, I was going to share about how we do get angry at each other. We do get frustrated. We do have arguments. We have all of that, but it's because we love each other, because of this connection that God has given us. And we have all had opportunities for that. You know, my family went from four kids, mom and dad, to after my mom passed away, dad remarried, and my new mom, my stepmom, had five more kids. So we had nine kids and two parents, and yours and mine, no ours, but it was just one thing after another after another. And maybe for you too. When you go home, it's like, well, who's not speaking along, and who's done this and whatever else and all of that. But it's difficult. And it even shows up in the Bible. I mean, can you imagine the Bible when there's a population of four people according to the story of Genesis, and we get all the way to the fourth chapter and there's already a murder? I mean, that's not very good odds, you know? But it shows that even from the very beginning that there's strife, that's part of our human condition. With the early Christians, they also knew the difficulties of having faith and not quite fitting in with families of origin. I mean, when Jesus is talking about father against son and daughter against mother and all of that, he's predicting that this will be happening, because as this group of believers becomes committed to Christ and become Jesus followers, they are also in many ways being alienated from their families of origin, being shut off as they follow this Jesus cult. And the struggles that have gone on and on, and sometimes even between denominations and all of that, of difficulties that even revolve around faith. But part of our growing up is being able to find out what's important. Sometimes that's difficult to remember. And part of ourselves is differentiating from our parents, from those that we love most dearly. I'll never forget, I think our son Patrick was about maybe 12 years old. And up until 12 years old, he was always just kind of like on your hip. You know, he just wanted to be there all the time. He was always just right there. And Diane and I were walking with Patrick, and we noticed he was like six steps ahead of us. And we thought, oh, that's different. We must be slow. So we started up. Guess what he did? Walked faster. And we looked at each other. We said, oh, something has changed. Something has changed. And some of those changes are the good things, because God does want us to be the people that God made us to be. Not just some stamp from our parents, or stamp from our church, or stamp from anybody else that might influence us, but to be the people that the Holy Spirit has called us to be. That's our identity. You know, there's plenty of gospel, even though it's hard to find in the gospel. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 23, God reminds us that God is a God nearby, that his presence fills heaven and earth. He says, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces? We have this powerful, powerful God that is always, always with us. In the second lesson, it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We are called on this journey not alone, but in this community of faith all around us. Not just here, but 2.2 billion people around the world. And finally, last but not least, this gospel text. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire to the earth, a baptism with which to be baptized. You know, the good thing is that fire here doesn't mean getting burned, doesn't mean getting completely obliterated. It doesn't even mean getting hurt. Fire in the Old Testament and here in the New Testament means a way of purifying. Of purifying. Here it talks about the wheat and the chaff. We are the wheat. The chaff is burned, is taken away. But what's the essence of who we are and the presence of God and whatever remains? That's the gospel. That's the good news. Our family and our closest friends that drive us up the walls also rub off the rough edges. They help us to be the people of God, to be able to be the people God has called us to be. Fire, in this instance, is not a punishment, but it's a blessing. But secondly, God invites us to be in that tension. You know, about not just this or this, but both and. You know, in our Lutheran faith, we talk about that we're saints and sinners. We don't have to come here and pretend that everything's perfect and that we've got it all together, but we're sinners. But we're also saints, called, set apart for our baptism through what God has done for us. We have this tension. It's not either or. We're not just left or right or good or bad or whatever. We're both in this tension in between. That is part of being honest and fullness and knowing the vastness of God's creation. That's a gift. And finally, last but not least, it's not about perfection. I don't know if many of you have heard of Father Richard Rohr, but he has some wonderful, wonderful daily devotion that I always read. And here, just a couple weeks ago, he had a couple things. He was talking about perfection, and I think sometimes that's the hard part, is because we expect our family or ourselves or the people that we love most dearly to be perfect. Anybody guilty of that? But what Father Rohr says, this is what he says about perfection. This is from the 28th of July. He says, "Is there such a thing as human perfection? It seems to emerge precisely from how we handle imperfection that is everywhere, especially in ourselves. What a clever place for God to hide holiness. What a clever place for God to hide holiness. Divine perfection is, in fact, the ability to recognize, forgive, and include imperfection, just as God does with all of us." Once we stop trying to make ourselves exactly perfect, and make others exactly perfect, and our families exactly perfect, all of a sudden we can live in that wonderful gift and presence of God's Holy Spirit and the depth of God's love. That's what God invites us to be, even in those tensions, even in those disagreements. You know, I was working at a church, and we had been striving really hard to draw in new families, especially families with kids. And so some good things were happening, and we had this another family that started coming and all, hadn't really had a church background or whatever, and was just coming and just seemed to be so happy and everything, and they had a little first grader girl and a fifth grader boy and a really gung-ho and all, and then one day after church, I was in fellowship, and the mom comes up to me, and she has this really kind of serious look on her face, and she announces to me, she says, "I think we're going to have to stop coming to church." And my heart sank. It was like, "Oh, no, this can't." I said, and so that's what my head was saying. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, the other day I told my daughter to do something in the kitchen. And she said, 'You're not the boss of me. Jesus Christ is the boss of me.'" She started laughing. And that is true. Some days she'll probably become a bishop. But, you know, Jesus Christ is the boss of us. Jesus Christ is the boss of us. But because that is true, it makes us grow in our discipleship, where we can be a blessing to others, where we can receive and welcome imperfection, where we can be those people of God reaching out with love and grace and acceptance and forgiveness and being the people of God as we're getting burned and growing in faith. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, be with us as we pray silently before you. pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn.
Let us pray for the church, the creation, and the whole people of God, for God is near. Raise up faithful leaders for your church around the world. Inspire global missionaries with a spirit of accompaniment as they walk alongside our partners in the gospel in solidarity, interdependence, and mutuality. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Safeguard rivers and lakes from pollution. Sustain the work of conservationists, policymakers, and advocacy groups seeking to protect freshwater sources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bridge divisions across partisan lines. Strengthen cooperative efforts among lawmakers who enact policies that protect our neighbors who are most vulnerable. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Embrace all who suffer in isolation, for those who are incarcerated or detained, those who are fleeing from unsafe environments, and those who are sick or homebound, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Mako, Elliot, Mike, Patricia, Kenneth, Tracy, Evan, the family of Dean Kroc, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Re- Reassure them of your care in all times and places. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is very great.
Guide the leaders of this congregation in these late summer weeks. Inspire their planning for a new program year ahead. Kindle in us a spirit of collaboration and support for their work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is very great.
With thanksgiving, we remember the cloud of witnesses who surround us. By the example of their faith, enable us to run with perseverance the race set before us. Until that day when we join their unending praise, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident in God's presence and promise, we entrust our prayers to the one who always receives them, through Jesus Christ, our wisdom and companion.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's all stand and share that peace with each other. You may remain standing as we gather back together, and let's sing together, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Our thanks. Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
He is your word, inseparable from you, through which you created all things, in whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot, and was shown forth as your son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all of your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who was handed over to death. He freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is my blood, the new covenant, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Please send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one of all who share in this bread and wine, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Let's pray together the prayer our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. sing Beautiful Savior?
Yes.
I thought so. Let's go ahead. Gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Please send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just a couple announcements. Basically, Pastor John said, read the newsletter and the words, and you'll know everything that needs to be done. There's a lot of things going on, especially with the upcoming school season and all of that as well. So please do that. I asked him if it was okay. I'm taking an EMT class, and I have to come up with taking vital signs of like 50 people. And so I hit up the Episcopalians last week. And so if any of you would like to have your vital signs taken, it'll only take about 3 or 4 minutes, but I'll set up a table back there. That would help me out anyway. But it's just blood pressure, pulse, and some breath sounds and stuff. So that would be great. Any other announcements that anyone needs to, yes?
The kitchen downstairs needs to be cleaned, and I'd really not like to be the only one that cleans it on Monday. If you have time Monday morning to come, if you can come for half an hour, if you can come for longer, please come. Many hands make light work, and I really love to have you help.
Starting on time.
And that would be Sally to announce. There is a picnic for foster families on Tuesday. And our end of the summer barbecue will be next Wednesday, not this week, but next week.
Any others? Let's pray. The love of God abound in you, the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace.
Amen.
Let's sing together ascending.